Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday, I finished answering the third question and started the fourth as our time ended. Please listen closely today.
It will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble.
I will
plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
I said, dear sister in Christ, it is great to hear from you. The story of the woman in Mark 7 is also recorded in Matthew 15. Jesus does use the term dogs in both passages. The Matthew 15 passage, beginning at verse 21, states, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now, as you look at that, we see that the Mark passage that we have here, in the Mark passage, also mentions dogs, but it leaves out verse 28 that is written here, where Jesus said, Great is thy faith. It was not unusual for Jews to think of Gentiles as dogs. One might say it was somewhat of a racist description. Many times in scriptures, dogs also refers to the sin of homosexuality. She knew this division that existed. She also had heard of Christ. Perhaps she had heard him preach the gospel. She did not need to believe in him as a doctor or healer of some kind. She needed to see him as the Lord God come in the flesh. So this was first a trial of her faith. Her faith in Christ is what heals her daughter. In like manner, it was important for the Jews about him to see that the gospel was to go to the whole world. Simeon had said in Luke 2 of Jesus at the temple when they came at the end of 8 days to have him circumcised, and he's presented, he said, a light to lighten the Gentiles. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 16, that he would make them of one fold, that is, the Gentiles and the Jews, the Israel. Now we see the purpose. The Jews needed to see that salvation is by faith. Secondly, they would see her as they would a dog. So the Jews also need to see that Jesus will save the worst of sinners. As Romans 5:20 says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. In verse 23 there that we read, the disciples were trying to send her away. How much is that like a church in which they're down on having those bus children or the dregs of society. And my friend, the gospel is to all. Peter will need to see this in Acts chapter 10 when he's sent to preach the gospel to Cornelius' household. Gentiles. And a great doctrinal truth that we learn from the passage in Acts 10 and 11 is this. What God hath cleansed, call it not common or unclean. That has been a blessing to so many, for it shows another benefit of salvation. It demonstrates what we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. There it says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Now, boy, that's quite a group, isn't it? Fornicators, effeminate, the homosexuals, abusers of themselves with mankind. Boy, I tell you what, that's the worst. And drunkards and revelers, extortioners. I mean, you have all of that. He says, they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But then he says, and such were some of you. See, unrepentant people don't get saved. It's only when we repent and believe the gospel we get saved. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the Lord. And so he says in verse 11, and such were some of you. But ye are washed. How are they washed? By the blood of Jesus Christ. But ye are sanctified. How are they set apart? By Jesus Christ. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. Again, justified by Jesus Christ. And by the Spirit of our God. So, when he says, such were some of you, we are delivered from the power of those sins. We're delivered from the penalty of those sins. When those sins come back into your life, it's because you allowed them. That's why Hebrews chapter 12 says, let us lay aside every sin and the weight that so easily besets us. God's already given you the power over it. Just set it aside. Don't do it anymore. So what a blessing of salvation and its cleansing power. Verse 23 in Matthew 15 reminds us of so many Christians and their cruel comments. Jesus answered in front of her, but also in front of his disciples, that Israel represents sheep. As he called her a dog, he called Israel sheep. Have you ever been around a pack of dogs and then a herd of sheep? Let me tell you something. The sheep smell much worse. You see, all need cleansed by the blood of Jesus. As we see the great marriage feast in heaven, we see that Jesus is working to bring Jew and Gentile, sheep and dogs, to the great supper table of the marriage feast in heaven. His bride, for we who receive Christ are made by him his bride. And as we are in heaven, we think of 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. And particularly when he says, it doth not now appear what we shall be, but we know that when we shall see him, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And then verse 3 says, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. You know, I'm just going to interrupt my answer here just to say two things about that. A lot of us that claim to be Bible-believing Christians, fundamental, true to the word, say, oh, we believe that Jesus Christ is coming soon. Oh, he's going to be here soon. You know, I just can't see it taking much longer. Where it's always could have been at any moment. I think it's immediate. It's very near. Well, if you really believe that, and it's not just a fact that you say you believe, but it's actually a faith by which you live, then two things. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 saying, provoking one another to love and good works, not forsaking there, not there, there, not there, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. As you see that the day of Christ's return is soon, he says, boy, you're more faithful to God's house than you've ever been. And there in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, I mean, it's a blessing to be called the children of God, but he says, if you really have this hope in you of being like him, because you'll see him as he is, if you have this hope in you, then you'll purify yourself even as he is pure. Instead of trying to emulate the world and look like the world and think like the world and worship like the world, you'll want to be separate from anything of the flesh and its desires, to be separated unto that which is holy and pure in the sight of God. So again, he says, such were. What a blessing of salvation is the cleansing power of Jesus Christ. And so we see that. Now, he goes on, and after that list of sins and saying that we were, Mark 7, Matthew 15 passages shows us the complete work the Lord Jesus Christ does in the salvation of a soul. It also shows us that no one is beyond his saving grace. Therefore, my friend, never, never, never give up on a soul. I've seen souls away for 20-some years. I had someone I've been praying for many years, that well over 30-something years, called me up. He had gotten right with God. Praise the Lord. Matthew 15, the passage there, shows us a complete work the Lord does in the salvation of a soul. Therefore, you may not see immediate results, and other Christians may think that it's a waste, but God's word is powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing to dividing asunder soul and spirit, the joints and marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So use the word, you continue to work. And then I said to this dear lady, I hope this is helpful to you, and I hope that it was helpful to her. I really do, so that she can go on from there. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet.